head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat Forty. I'm with the new Chariot, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bohanser, and
welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So, here's Rick.
And here we are back again at the Rusty Satellite Show. Your host, Rick Redding, right here in our St. Matthews, Louisville.am studios. Glad to have you with me. Thanks for listening to the show. It's a labor of love for me. 271 weeks in a row, going strong. And as usual, I have some of the most interesting people in the Ville on as my guest this week. Let me tell you that in the second part of the show, our Bourbon City guest of the week, brought to you by Louisville Tourism, is David Mandel, who is just an amazing guy. He is the president and CEO of Bardstown Bourbon Company. I drove down there yesterday, and always love that is just such a beautiful place, and they've got this wonderful restaurant there. I was kind of in a hurry yesterday, but I did get to go down there and talk to David. I think you'll enjoy the interview. We talked about the Kentucky Bourbon Festival that's this weekend, and also the upcoming Bourbon and Beyond, which they have a big presence in. So that's really good. We're going to be talking a bit about Bourbon and Beyond on this show this week and next, I believe. So. Anyway, that's the plan anyway. My first guest we're going to get to in just a moment is Barbara Sexton Smith, and she is always a delight to talk to. If you have ever seen her or in person, she's very animated and excited about almost everything. I'm always enjoy when I get a chance to speak to Barbara. I'll get to her in like just one moment. First up, I want to say a big thank you. Besides Louisville Tourism, Passport Health Plan is my longtime sponsor of this program, and they do wonderful work. I am working on a project with them in the West End, and it is it's really fun. I'm learning a lot about people and places in the West End. This week, I learned a lot about the Russell neighborhood, where there's a $5 million grant has been awarded called Place of Promise. You're going to be hearing a lot more about that around town and maybe even on this show. You never know. Also, for my own health, I want to mention my friends at Heiser Health. I feel so guilty today because I've been on vacation and I've had some other things come up. I haven't been to exercise class over there at Heiser in the Melwood Arts Center for, it's almost 2 weeks now, and I really feel bad about that. So I got to get back there. I'm doing pretty good on the diet. If you want to get in shape or get healthier, give Peggy Heiser a call over at Heiser Health, and you can look them up at heiserhealth.com. Also, this show is sponsored by my friends at the Eye Care Institute, where Dr. Meyer performed LASIK surgery. I'm going to have someone from the Eye Care Institute on here as a guest in the coming weeks. It's going to be fun. I am really enjoying my new vision, and my you know, the main thing where it hits me is getting up in the morning and I don't have to put contacts in. That's really good. That's really good. All right. So listen, I've been very busy the last week or so. I'm anxious to share some of the details with you, and that's going to be fun. But first, I want to get to Barbara Sexton Smith. She is a Metro Council District 4 and won election. She was on this show last, as we discussed, 2 years ago, right before the election, and she won. And she's been a great representative for District 4, and she says some things in this interview that I'm going to talk about in the next segment that I think are very important. But anyway, she's a big asset to the city. I see her all the time out in public. She loves her job and loves what she's doing. Very diverse district, by the way. It encompasses down a big portion of downtown, but also some of the less wealthy areas in the West End, including a big chunk of the West End. So she's got her hand on the pulse of a lot of different issues. So I think you'll find this to be a very interesting interview. So enjoy.
I admit I used to think people addicted to painkillers just needed to toughen up, until it happened to my daughter. She really needed help. Thanks to Passport, we got it for her. Our doctor and her Passport case manager made sure she got the services and treatment she needed. Together, we got through it.
Find out how you can get Passport at passporthealthplan.com/together. Passport Health Plan. We're in this together.
Today, the Rusty Satellite Show comes to you from downtown. I am with one of the, with Barbara Sexton Smith, who I'm just so happy to be here with you.
Well, hey, Rusty, I am thrilled to be here. I remember the last time we had a conversation for your show. I think it was spring break of 2016, and you were able to get me to come in off the campaign trail for about 12 minutes to have a conversation. And we talked that day about what I was doing that was running for office at that time, and I called it rewirement. So yeah. I'm thrilled to give you a bird's eye view.
You rewired and you won.
Well, absolutely. In November of 2016, the voters of Metro Council District 4 came out loud and clear, and here I am. So I was sworn into office officially in December of 2016, and now I'm in my 20th month of serving folks. And Rusty, I got to tell you, it is such an amazing, humbling, and honoring experience to get to serve the folks of Metro Council District 4. And everybody says, I don't know that you'll be able to get very much done in your first year or two. Well, that's what I'd like to talk about.
Okay. Well, let's do it. It's a very exciting time in the city and in downtown with a lot of things going on. I keep seeing you at press conferences where new things are being unveiled and launched. And let's just go through some of the stuff you've been able to accomplish.
Right. And so very first thing when I was sworn in, everybody in the media wanted to know what was my platform, what was the strategic plan, what would I hope to accomplish, given the fact that I'd spent 30 plus years in fundraising and many of those years as president and CEO at the Fund for the Arts. They said, so what do you have to offer for the district? And I said, well, first and foremost, District 4, we're going to fight for food, clothing, and shelter. Okay. Because we have some needs and some interests in my district that some districts have, but not all. And I said, and once we're able to get everybody lifted and equal the playing field, we're going to focus on safety and education and health and poverty and oppression. So we developed a strategic plan. And in District 4, we call it Together We Create a Great Connected Community. And a great connected community is safe, healthy, educated, and free, free from poverty, and free from oppression. So that set us out on a course to get everybody in the district to feel connected. We have about 29,000 folks that live in Metro Council District 4.
Okay.
73% African American in my district, and 84% of my school children are not reading at grade level. So I take that very seriously, and I'm very interested in that. When I first came into office, crime was arguably at possibly an all-time high, or if it wasn't, it was close to it. Our homicide rates were very high. And what's interesting, Rusty, in Metro Council District 4, four of the eight LMPD divisions come through my district geographically. So what that means is I have LMPD Division 1, 2, 4, and 5 are crisscrossing through my district. So I am looking at half of our police data every week. And first and foremost, safety. As an elected official, that's job one. And I am very proud and happy to tell you that as we sit here today, here's what the data says. The LMPD 1st Division, which most of that is 34th Street to the river and coming up through the Russell neighborhood, a little bit of the Portland neighborhood. It goes to the Broadway as our south boundary, all the way up through downtown, moving toward the Butchertown Soccer Stadium district. In that police division, violent crime has taken a dramatic decrease, and it is down 50% in the last year. And our homicide rate in that division is down 70%.
Wow.
That is amazing. And that happened.
Because people, I think probably a lot of people believe the opposite.
Well, they believe the opposite because there are some people who take to the airwaves and take to the media and use social media, and some people are trying to instill fear in the public. You know, Rusty, it's silly season right now. Silly season. Yeah. We're getting ready to have an election, and one of the most disgusting things that you'll see from time to time is when folks will politicize real-life tragedies and difficulties only to advance their own political career. So I am 100% against politicizing death and tragedy, regardless of how that happens. The facts are this. LMPD's doing a great job. They're under the leadership of Chief Conrad. That department is well-managed, well-led, well-trained. It's one of the finest departments in America. And it's not just Division One. The 4th Division, which is over in Smoketown and Shelby Park and moving out toward Churchill Downs, that particular LMPD division is seeing a 33% decrease in homicides. And if that doesn't make you happy enough, go on to the 2nd Division. That's the 2nd LMPD division is more into West Louisville and going along through the Shawnee and Chickasaw and Park Hill and Parkland neighborhoods, and they're seeing a 50% decrease in homicides. So job one is safety, and my first 20 months working together with LMPD and the administration, I think we've done a great job. However, you know what? Second thing, most important for an elected official, is economic development, right? And that is to create jobs and to create investment. Because what happens is when businesses build in your community and properties are built up in your community, then your tax revenues increase. And Metro Louisville, we have an $877 million metro budget, and the main one of the biggest sources of income for us are property taxes.
Right.
So I don't really want yours and my property taxes to go up too high to get out of control. So how do we get more revenue? We have to improve other businesses. So during my first year in office, I was able to negotiate and sponsor legislation that created 5 tax increment financing deals. And we call that a TIF. So a tax increment financing deal is when you have something, for example, Passport Health and Wellbeing headquarters, which is being built right now at the corner of 18th and Broadway. They came to me to put their financing together, and part of the package would include sharing the property taxes over the next 20 years. Well, we're only going to share the increased property taxes. Metro Louisville is going to keep the property taxes on that block that we currently have, but by putting a $135 million investment on that corner, our property taxes are going to grow up drastically, and we, the citizens, get to benefit from that. And then another one go up to the other end of my district, up in Butchertown. We have the Butchertown Soccer Stadium
Great
district.
Soccer stadium, yeah.
Right. So people think that's just a soccer stadium. That's the nucleus. That's going to be more than 11,000 seats in that stadium, and that will open up, and we'll be playing in the new stadium in March of 2020 when that season opens up. However, the stadium is only one component. That's a $200 million economic development deal that will have hopefully a hotel, they'll have maybe a corporate headquarter, there'll be entertainment, there'll be restaurants, and possibly more residences. So the value of those 30-plus acres is going to go up drastically, which means
right.
more property
more
taxes.
More money for a government.
And the more, right? Well, and that's where the government needs money, because people say, oh, the government's too big and they have too much money. Wait a minute. The government is responsible for making sure we have $341 million that we can give to LMPD so we can have a well-managed, well-trained
sure.
police force. We need to have Louisville Fire and Rescue. We need to have emergency management services. We need to have solid waste management services who pick up the garbage for us. We need to have our public safety and public health department. We need to have our library system.
Well, people, so, let me interrupt you just for a second.
Sure.
And because one of the things, here's the thing, you mentioned politics and the ugly aspect of policy, even in a mayor's race where a two-time incumbent is, you know, unlikely to be defeated. But the other side, I'm just miffed or amazed at criticism of like one particular thing they're hanging their hat on, the bike lane thing. You know, they call him Mayor McBike Lane. And it, I maintain that it's such a small part of the city's budget. It doesn't seem like it's a good political issue. You may not have a position on that, but do you?
Well, I am very much interested in making sure that Louisville, Kentucky, and Jefferson County is a 21st century innovative city that is looking not just to today, but looking at the next generation and generations thereafter. We must get up every day and ask ourselves as a city, are we relevant, are we innovative, and are we evolutionary? And if you're not asking those questions and you're not trying to figure out how to become a cleaner environment where there's more jobs, where it's multi-generational, where many different generations want to live here and will thrive here, you must be asking yourselves or saying you want everything to stay exactly how it is today.
Mm-hmm.
That's my question. Anybody who is completely against the bike lanes, for example, and that intermodal transportation that helps slow down traffic, helps makes our public right-of-ways more safe for people, helps makes the pedestrian right-of-ways more safe by slowing the traffic patterns down, if you're against that, I'm not sure what you're for. So you know what I always like to say? We talked about that first year.
So what do you say to those darn Republicans that say
Well, I say I'm here to love mankind. I love my brothers and sisters. And we're all put on this earth exactly the same way we were born, and we're all going to be taken out the same way because we're all going to draw that last breath at one day. We have to lay down the swords. We have to quit trying to pole vault our own personal careers and personal gain. We as a group of leaders need to make decisions that are for the greater good, for the greater number. And together we can do that. This can't be about one person or two people who are at odds with one another. Let's move the city together. Let's move it forward together. And I think we can do that. And during that first year in office, in addition to those five tax increment financing deals, that was $414 million of economic development that we brought into Metro Council District 4 alone. That created, Rusty, 3,700 jobs, good-paying jobs, just in District 4. So I feel really good about the work we've been able to do together so far in 20 months. But what I'm hanging my hat on now, and the most important legislative issue for me, I think everyone knows, is the Metropolitan Sewer District. And I sponsored the legislation when I first got into office and was not able to get the votes because it got politicized. And there were people saying that they didn't want to fund it. They didn't think it was a real issue. Well, it's the most critical, most serious issue facing Jefferson County are the pipes and the sewer lines and our infrastructure underneath our roadways. And it's crumbling.
The roads keep blowing up.
Yeah, 1,100 sewer cave-ins last year alone. You just saw East Broadway close down here for many weeks. Last summer, you saw Hancock and Main intersection close down and rerouted from August until October. I mean, this is a very serious issue. And we should not politicize this issue. And unfortunately, I think people will try to do that. But I have legislation that is ready, an ordinance that is written, and I'm only asking for a temporary 3% rate increase. Give that to MSD. It'll be in place for 4 years, and then it sunsets and goes away. And it's only going to mean about $1.71 a month on everybody's utility bills. We need to do this. Because if we don't take this bull by the horns and solve this MSD issue and this problem, it's going to get worse for all of us.
Well, I'm sure
don't politicize it.
We're going to hear that it's a tax increase, right?
Well, that's what you'll hear. But however, it's a temporary rate increase. You know, we want good services. We want to have a safe environment, a healthy environment. Well, sometimes we have to pay a little bit more for that. And I'm willing to be the elected official that stands up and says, please join me and do this and make the right decision at the right time for the right reason. Don't politicize it.
Well, let me ask you one last thing. We got to
sure.
go. You seem to always be having a good time. You've got a lot of energy and enthusiasm. 20 months in. Is this going to be a one-term deal, or are you in it for the long haul?
You know, I love the work I'm doing. I'm working 7 days a week. Saturday, I put in a 14-hour day. And whenever somebody says, so Barbara, how's it going? And I say, oh my gosh, I love the work that I do. I love it from the most complicated things, the things we've been talking about, to some of the most simplest things, is going to all the different, visiting the churches, visiting the businesses, visiting the schools, answering the phone calls in the office. Whatever you need, we're here to help you solve that problem. So I'm very focused on today. I love what I do. I think we're going to all be a long time dead. And the most important thing to do is focus on what you've been given to do today and do the best job you possibly can. And that will make everybody rise together. So I'm just saying, together we create a great connected community. Welcome to District 4.
Kaiser Health, your complete health source for preventative medicine and optimum health. Visit the experts of medical doctors and nurse practitioners so they can evaluate your overall health and your health as you age. Kaiser Health uses the primary preventative technique of nutrition with real food and effective exercise. If you qualify, you may need hormone replacement to optimize your health. Call the experts at Heiser Health, 502-882-4252.
And thank you, Barbara Sexton-Smith, for spending some time with me. I went down to talk to her because she had a story for me about the West Louisville Boys Choir, which I am going to write for that Passport Project, and it's an amazing story in itself about some of the good things that are going on in the West End. So thanks to Barbara. I also want to mention, I got a whole bunch of stuff to get to, but she talked about that MSD, the importance of funding MSD, and I think it goes to something I think we need to be thinking about here. If you noticed during the big rainstorm on Saturday, unfortunately, a cab driver got stuck under the viaduct, I think at 13th and Oak, and was not able to escape and drowned. And that seems like a tragedy, something that, you know, we should all feel bad about. But if you're a Republican mayoral candidate, Angela Leet, it is something bad that happened on Mayor Fisher's watch, so it is time for her to take advantage of it. It seems like she wants to blame anything bad that happens on Mayor Fisher. And she tweeted out the fact that she thinks the mayor should have done more, and that you know, sort of blamed MSD. But she did vote against this that rate hike, that temporary rate hike that Barbara mentioned in our interview. And it seems that you know, here's the thing: if I were Angela, and I know Angela, she's a nice person and all that, but you know, it's certainly an uphill battle. I do not believe that anybody's going to beat Fisher in the mayoral election, and her tactic is to try to find things to criticize, and that's what you do in politics. This tactic of pointing out here's a person that drowned in a tragic accident. That's Mayor Fisher's fault, is basically what she said. The Courier-Journal had a interesting story about the whole controversy, and as you heard Barbara say, the importance of funding MSD is part of our infrastructure. It's very important. Leet is looking for a political advantage from anything that happens that's negative, and you know, you've already heard me talk about my criticism of her calling the mayor McBike Lane, and you know, I think some of the local radio personalities have latched onto that because they're, you know, that's just the way they are, which is the way they are. They have a differing point of view than I do. Speaking of differing point of views, did you see Joe Girth's column in the Courier this week on Governor Bevin, calling Mars Bevin? Bevin was making a speech to this group, and he it's interesting to me. He talked about indentured servitude, which is apparently the way his great-great-great-grandfather started the Bell Company that is basically made Bevin rich. But he spoke of how those relatives got their start through indentured servitude, which is basically slavery with a time limit on it. If you read Girth's story, you know, indentured servitude was a way that people got to America from Europe. They agreed to work for a certain period of time and a certain job in exchange for passage to America. And yeah, it was glorified slavery. Well, Bevin spoke of it in glowing terms as a wonderful thing that happened in his family, and you know, you got to read Girth's story, but basically you get the feeling that Bevin would really like to go back to those days. That you know, he's criticized things like he doesn't think any college student should study anything that doesn't lead directly to employment. All of the liberal arts, he thinks that's a waste of time. And you know, there's a piece of that argument that may make sense. But basically, he's anti-education, he's anti-labor, and Girth's story points out that, you know, I think he's got the same problem, I guess, that a lot of politicians have, mainly the one in the White House, is that he just says the first thing that comes into his mind. And it's not always the smartest thing to say, and he doesn't realize the repercussions that those will carry. So, you know, we're stuck with him for another couple of years. So he did announce that he is running for re-election. So hope all of you all will pay attention to that, motivate you to get out and vote against him, no matter who's running on the Democratic side. So anyway, those are my political points for the week, and appreciate you being here on the Rusty Satellite Show. I've got always the most interesting people in the Ville. I do we have a Rusty Satellite Show, rustysatelliteshow.com. You may have gotten to this program from there or from iTunes, and it's interesting when you look back. I have a Facebook page, a list of all the guests I've had on the show. Right now there's 336 people on that list. That means there's another bunch of people who aren't on Facebook that that are on this. But it's always fun to go back and see some of the names of people who have been on the show before. It's really something. So anyway, what I'm here to do in this segment is talk about some of the things that are going on. I do want to tell you quickly about my trip to Colorado, which was a blast. As you know, my son, Josh, works out there. He lives in Longmont, Colorado, and works at the Google plant campus in Boulder. I got to go to the cafeteria at Google. And this is something that Josh gets to do every single day. I mean, I am telling you, this is the nicest cafeteria-style place to eat I've ever seen. And just enjoyed some tremendous food, a lot of smart young people walking around, and really appreciate Josh showing me around there. I actually went off my diet there again. They had some pizza I couldn't resist. They had this taco thing. I had this peach that was just the best peach I've ever had in my life. Very high quality stuff out there at Google. They take care of their employees, that is for sure. While we were out there, we went to a Rockies game. Saw him beat the Giants, and we also did one of my favorite things to do, go to a Lyle Lovett concert. Lyle was playing at the Red Rocks Amphitheater out there, and I was able to introduce that to Josh and his wife Sarah for the first time, and they absolutely loved the show, even though they, you know, Josh knew who Lyle Lovett was from growing up in my household, but his wife didn't know much about him. And it's a great act. It's a really great act to see. So so back here in town, we came back, you know, talk about football just a little bit. Are you one of the few that went out to that football game at Cardinal Stadium on Saturday? That was the worst weather I think I've ever seen for a football game over there. I did not go, even though I had tickets, which is a really rare thing. I couldn't look at the forecast and say, yeah, I think I'll go over there and sit out in the rain for a while. There were two delays. I think the game ended after midnight, and it wasn't much of a game either. The Cards really didn't play well against a vastly inferior team. But I'm excited this week. My alma mater is coming to town. Western, for the only time I have this rule, you always cheer for your alma mater no matter what. So I'll be wearing Western red at the ball game on Saturday. I think we're going to have good weather. And unfortunately, the Hilltoppers do not have a very good football team this year. They lost to Maine. That's that state up the most northeast of all states, not known at all for sports. They lost to Maine last week and they blew a 28-0 lead. The new coach Sanford down there is apparently not getting it done. So we'll see. This should be an opportunity for Louisville to do well. There is a minor quarterback controversy over there. But I tell you, Puma Pass is the earned the job over the last year, really, as backing up Lamar Jackson, and then he's got two games. But everything that happened in that game, you really can't criticize him for playing in that slop like that. So I think he'll have a good game against the Hilltoppers. Unfortunately, I'll be cheering for Western, but I'm not expecting them to win, I guess. But the big news over U of L, I don't know if you know about this, but they are, you know, there's always such a big deal, especially at UK, about the first practice. They have a big event, and you know, it's a media frenzy, and all the fans come out. Well, U of L has come up with a new idea for their first practice, and they're going to be at 4th Street Live. I think the date is September 28th. They're going to put a basketball court in the middle of 4th Street Live, and fans can go down there for free. And I'm expecting that will be a big event. Coming up September 28th, Coach Chris Mack's first team will be seen in uniform in public for the first time at 4th Street Live. So put that one on your calendar. That's going to be something to see. Other new things going on. Churchill Downs is opening their new gaming facility in the old Louisville Downs facility over on Poplar Level Road. I have heard from sources that that place is... well, let's just say it's not a place I'm going to spend a lot of time. It's heavily they have slot machines. They're not the casino gaming type slot machines. It's really a stretch to think that it's similar in any way to the kind of gambling you do over at the Horseshoe Casino. But it's a start. And, you know, I've long said that you know, going back to Governor Bevin, who thinks that you know, it's some sort of sin or something to do that kind of gambling. He's not going to have more gambling in our state. Well. This is Churchill Downs' attempt to get around the law, I guess, or get around that rule. It is legal what they're doing, and they spent a lot of money fixing up that facility over there. So if you get out there, I'd love to hear what you think. I'm not sure I've got a reason to get over there, really. So, and lastly, before we get to our Bourbon City Guest of the Week, I want to remind you that next Monday, on the September 17th, the Breakfast of Champions is coming up. And our favorite U of L president, Neely Bendapudi, is our guest speaker. I invite you to come. It's $20. Bring some cash, and you get a wonderful buffet breakfast at the University Club. And you'll get to hear from and meet Dr. Neely Bendapudi, the president of the University of Louisville. She was out at that football game, not out in the rain, though. I saw some pictures of her with some people at in the covered areas of Cardinal Stadium. Of course, I wouldn't expect her to be out in the rain. All right, so let's get on to our next guest. It's our Bourbon City Guest of the Week. It is David Mandel, and he's quite a story. He told me his background. He's from Philadelphia, and you know, has been in a lot of different businesses, but with some partners, got in the liquor business, and sort of happened on Bourbon and Bardstown, and has moved a lot of other people to Bardstown, and the facility they put up down there is really great. I wrote a story about it in the Voice Tribune several weeks ago, and I really like David. He's a very warm and personable guy, and he's talking about some great things that are going to happen down there. I didn't mention it in the interview, but they are thinking about putting a hotel up there in a year or two, and that's one thing that Bardstown needs, because it's difficult, like this weekend, to go down to the Kentucky Bourbon Festival. I'd love to do that, but I don't want to go down there, drink a bunch of bourbon, and drive back, and there's really not enough hotel rooms down there. So that's one step to solve that problem, and it's direly needed. And after you talk to David, you believe that he's going to make that happen. They've got a lot of great people down there at the Bardstown Bourbon. The restaurant is called Bottle and Bond, and it's a first-class restaurant, too. So, anyway, here it is. There's our Bourbon City Guest of the Week, David Mandel.
Next up, it's the Bourbon City Guest of the Week, brought to you by the Louisville Convention and Visitors Bureau. Get a different taste.
Today, the Rusty Satellite Show is in Bardstown, Kentucky. A little road trip. I'm with David Mandel. David, welcome to the show, or you're welcoming me, I guess.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to be on the show, and it's a pleasure to have you here in our facility.
Yeah, you have the Bardstown Bourbon Company, and a month or so ago, I came up here for Eat Drink Talk to test Bottle and Bond, your restaurant. And how's that going?
It is going great, and we couldn't be more thrilled. And Bottle and Bond was the next phase of the development of this project, opening up, you know, really the first full-scale restaurant and bar in a distillery on the Kentucky Bourbon Trail. And it's such an exciting addition to the trail. You know, we really are working very hard to make this a Napa Valley style experience and really develop the entire trail into that to draw more people here.
Well, we had a blast up here. I was here with Carolyn, and I think we sampled everything on the menu, which was really tremendous. But this is a big week. I guess the reason we're here this week, you're our Bourbon City Guest of the Week, is Kentucky Bourbon Festival is here. What's that mean for you?
Well, it means a lot for us. First of all, it's the time of the year when we get to really celebrate what we do here in Kentucky. The heritage of bourbon making, the excitement of bourbon making, and bringing together the community of Bardstown, Kentucky, along with all those people that want to come in and experience, you know, bourbon tourism. So
right.
It's a great event.
Okay. So the restaurant, I can easily get a reservation here this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, that might be a little tough. But what we have done is we've opened it up late night. We've got a special late night menu.
Okay.
We're featuring cocktails. We're staying open until 1 a.m. We have a DJ Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So it's going to be a fun place to be. Come down. There will be plenty of space in those hours to have a great time.
So it's a late night party. That sounds very exciting. Well, getting back, for people that don't know, this is down here. And it's an amazing facility anywhere. But the fact that it's here in Bardstown. If you can condense the story of how this came about. Because it's fascinating to me. It's not an old bourbon family. It's very modern.
It is. I mean, we started the project in 2013, and we arrived in Bardstown. I say we, me, and my other partners. Obviously, I'm the founder of the company. But we had been in the alcohol business before, in the beverage business, and we wanted to do something interesting and different in bourbon. And so we chose Bardstown for the location of this facility because of the community, because of the leadership here, and they just presented such a wonderful package to us of everything that we wanted to create. And so for us, this facility is about a celebration of the art of making bourbon and this community that's helped bring it to the world. And that's why we chose Bardstown.
Wow. So Bardstown. But you're from big cities, right? What's your background?
Well, I grew up in Philadelphia and started my career as a lawyer in Philadelphia. I spent some time in government. I was counsel to the chairman of the National Transportation Safety Board and chief of staff of the FAA for 5 years, and then started a vodka company, which we sold, and then went back into aerospace and defense for some time, but continued to keep my toes in the alcoholic beverage space, and we put this project together starting in 2013.
Wow. And I just got to ask you about the culture shock. Bardstown is a lot different than Philadelphia.
It is, but you know what's really funny is my mother's side of the family was all from Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, Loyola, very rural side of the family, in terms of where they grew up. And so I spent my summers out there as a child. And so for me, this was really not culture shock at all. You know, I love small town life. And every time I come back, and I do a lot of commuting back and forth between here and D.C., and I come back here and it's just like, you know, it's like, even though I'm coming back into the firestorm, yeah. It actually feels like relaxing coming into Bardstown and coming here. I love being here.
Yeah. Well, it's really an amazing facility. Now, how did you, you said you and your partners put together this project, but we're out there here where I guess before you came, it's like an industrial
farm. It was farmland.
Yeah.
And so we had a vision, and it was a vision that, you know, evolved over time. We didn't walk in one day and say, we're going to build this place and, you know, we're going to create this miraculous facility and we're going to have a restaurant and a bar and an integrated visitors experience and do, you know, custom whiskey making for others. It started with one idea, and then like anything else, any good business, it evolved. And the story of Bardstown is really the story of the team here and how we were able to attract so many talented people to come and move to Louisville and move to Bardstown. And that's what the story of this company is about. We have attracted and we have brought in, my head of hospitality is from Virginia. My CFO moved his family from London, England. Our new creative director came from Philadelphia. Our head of our restaurant and bar food and beverage came from Virginia. Our master distiller was not far down the road, but John Hargrove, our executive director of distilling operations, was Missouri, then via Shepherdsville. So
yeah,
it's really amazing.
Yeah, it really is. And I was looking at, we just saw Dan Calloway in the hallway, and, he has an amazing background, including the DECA restaurant in Louisville.
Absolutely, and the whole beverage team that he has assembled. And guess what? Everybody's looking at moving down here, too. So, and then, of course, in order to actually facilitate the restaurant, we have a program with a J-1 visa program with the State Department. We have 20 students from South Africa, the Philippines, and India that are all here. We house them. We provide transportation. They're here for a year. Our head of hospitality is in South Africa right now recruiting next year's J-1 visa culinary students. So it's really an amazing story.
Yeah, I was just talking to somebody yesterday about the business and how difficult staffing is. And you know, to think, out here in Bardstown, I walk in and there's like 10 people working here. So at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So it's amazing.
It is. Yeah. It's one of the biggest challenges. And in order to provide the type of experience we want to provide here in the restaurant and bar, we had to think very creatively. And we've done the same thing across all lines of business. I mean, we came up with the concept for complete custom whiskey production. That's been the engine behind, you know, starting the business.
Yeah, I think that's the unique thing I wanted to get to in this interview is what you actually make here. I mean, you're not there is a brand here, but you're primarily making product for bourbon companies.
It's interesting because we call the collaborative distilling program, and it's an exclusive program. We are very selective about who is allowed in. We have 20 customers. They are brands that you would recognize. You know, they range from large craft distilleries to some of the biggest companies in the world. You know, you have, you know, brands out there. You know, for example, the Western Spirits portfolio, all of Jefferson's. We do a lot. You know, most of their production. We do a lot of work with Constellation and High West. You know, 1776 in Georgetown Distilling. You know, James E.
Right.
Pepper, great brands. And what we offer them is the ability to complete custom production. and then this can become their home. And so it's exclusive.
So they all can bring their customers in to see it made and have a meal, et cetera. And you've got another fascinating thing, this whiskey library, which is you caught my attention when you have something that costs $2,500 an ounce. So, but that is a product of Kentucky law changing, right?
And what we have done here is we've taken advantage, I believe, of all the flexibility the Kentucky legislature has given us. One of those great things was the ability to buy vintage spirits and sell them. And so we created our collection with Fred Minnick. We have over 400 now vintage whiskeys and bourbons ranging from the late 1800s all the way to the 80s and 90s. We have them cataloged, and they are each very unique, and they tell a particular story. And so it is a great thing to have, especially on the Bourbon Trail, where you can come here and you can experience all of this, and you can buy them and you can drink them.
But I'm curious, I think I know the answer, but going out and finding these rare bourbons, I mean, you're going through people's attics and stuff.
There's a lot of that, absolutely. And that's why, you know, we partnered with Fred to do this, to help curate the collection. You know, because look, that's not our business. We don't, you know, there's nobody on our team right now that could tell you, you know, what exactly we should get, what's really interesting, that knows the history of it. So that's why we reached out to Fred, and we've developed this wonderful partnership because it tells a good piece of our story. Part of a big piece of what we are here at Bardstown Bourbon Company, we walk this really neat line between respecting the art and tradition of bourbon making and the history and pushing innovation and science.
Okay.
And the Vintage Whiskey Library helps really nicely fit in with that story.
I'm just imagining like people like one of those TV shows where they value your stuff and people bring their bottles in and say, what do you give me for this one?
We've actually talked about having one of those here and doing a roadshow type concept, which would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it would really be something. Well, next thing on the agenda, I know this is a big weekend for you. We've talked about that, but next week it's Bourbon and Beyond. So you are really involved in that.
Tell me what
you guys are doing.
We're really excited. The Bourbon and Beyond Festival, I think, is one of the most exciting things to come to Kentucky. The state should be extremely proud. Louisville should be so proud of this festival. This is the second year, and I can tell you the Bourbon and Beyond folks have got big plans for this. We're heavily invested in it. We're recreating the Bottle and Bond kitchen and bar experience there, and we're doing an exclusive VIP experience with food and drink. You know, and so we will be at the festival, you know, for the entire weekend. And it's very exciting for us.
So you're taking the whole crew?
We're taking a lot of the team there. Wow. We still have to run this place
to save time. Can't close here.
No. But we're going to be doing a lot there. We're going to be situated right between Fred Minnick's, bourbon experience and his educational area and the culinary center.
Okay, cool. And you're going to sneak out to see which act?
You know, there are so many good bands on the, you know, on that list, you know, that's go all the way from Sting to, I mean, so I can tell you that, you know, we'll be there for all of it.
Not giving away your
No, well,
your
we
favorite.
Did it last year, and last year was a huge success, and that was even in year one, the first time they did it. It was an amazing festival. What I can tell you is the second year, it's unbelievable what they're doing, and their plans for 3, 4, 5 years out. This is going to be one of the biggest bourbon festivals, obviously, you know, in the country.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's right in line with the Kentucky Bourbon Festival here in Bardstown.
Exactly.
So
it's going to be, and it's a great month. September is an exciting month for bourbon.
Well, it's very exciting what you're doing down here. I'm glad I've gotten to come back again, and I promise you I'll be back another time to actually sample some of the stuff in the restaurant, which is just an outstanding addition down here in Bardstown. So congratulations to you, and we'll look forward to seeing you next weekend in Louisville.
Thank you very much. We appreciate, you know, everything that you do for us, and we appreciate everything that the state of Kentucky does and tourism. It's amazing what you guys are doing and what you're attracting here. Thank you.
And that, my friends, is what the Rusty Satellite Show is all about, bringing you the interesting people who are making a difference here in our town, even though old David lives down there in Bardstown. He's up here a lot, I'm sure. And look forward to seeing him at the Bourbon and Beyond Festival, which is coming up later this month. That's going to be special. And in fact, we had Dora Sims and Fred Minnick on to talk about Bourbon and Beyond on the show last week. And There's more Bourbon and Beyond related stuff coming up. Looking forward to, in fact, I think it's going to be on E-Drink Talk. If you know me and you know what I do, you know that I also do with my partner Carolyn McLean a Eat Drink Talk podcast about the restaurants and dining each and every week. We're going to have a Bourbon and Beyond themed show next week, so that's going to be very exciting about the eating part of stuff. This week we had a guy named Nick Swope on the show from the Down One Bourbon Bar. It was very interesting. I got to get my beef out with the fact they were closed that July Sunday night, where when I went to the Rod Stewart concert downtown and couldn't find a place to eat. All the restaurants were closed. Couldn't believe it. Isn't that something? All right. So here's all the places you can find my stuff. I operate LouisvilleKY.com, the Pulse of the City. It's a news website. I post all kinds of news on there. E-Drink Talk. It is at edrinktalk.net. You can go on there and listen to we're up to 80 podcasts on that show as well. And then rustysatelliteshow.com is the place to find a full list of all 271 Rusty Satellite shows and all the guests that we've had. You can go on there, and anybody you're curious about is who's been on the show, you can just type their name in and you can go and listen to them talk. You know, it might be a past episode you're interested in. So that's what it's all about. I got some great stuff coming up. I'll tell you, I'm doing a better job of planning, I guess, in terms of the show. In fact, yesterday I recorded a show for next week. It's about the upcoming Breeders' Cup in Louisville. It's coming to Churchill Downs. And I had two great folks, Megan Devine and Tara Gunther, who were here in the studio. And we talked about what's going on with the Breeders' Cup. It's very exciting. Very exciting. You'll look forward to that one. It's going to be a good show next week. Also coming up in the future, I just talked to a representative of J.D. Shelburne, the musician, and I've been curious about him for a while, so he's going to be on the show in a week or two, and I have a secret politician that's going to be on next week. So there is a lot going on in the Rusty Satellite world. I really appreciate you paying attention and tuning in, and I welcome your feedback about the show. As always, we're sponsored by Passport Health Plan, Louisville Tourism, Heiser Health, and the Eye Care Institute. Thanks to all of those folks for being a part of the show and being sponsors of this, what I guess you would say has become a Louisville institution. I say that. I take credit for that. It's 271 weeks in a row we've had a show like this. It's all about local stuff in Louisville, and I'm really proud of that. So, keep tuning in. Keep tuning in. Thank you very much for that. We're on the Louisville.am network. Thanks to my producer, Dan Vonderhyde, who puts the show together for me every week, and all the people around town who helped me make this show happen. And so that's it. We'll be back next week. Join me on Monday at the Breakfast of Champions at the University Club. Bring your $20 and hear from President Neely Bendapudi of the University of Louisville. That's all for now.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city. Airplanes in the buildings every time.